Cavietis. What did he say? Klotz. The guy is angry.
Angry?
Klotz's feelings are hurt. His plane is moments from disaster, but he cannot escape the dynamic dictated to him by his culture, in which subordinates must respect the dictates of their superiors. In his mind, he has tried and failed to communicate his plight, and his only conclusion is that he must have somehow offended his superiors in the control tower. In the aftermath of the Kennedy crash, the management of Avianca Airlines held a postmortem. Avianca had just had four accidents in quick succession, and all four cases, the airline concluded, had to do with airplanes in perfect flight condition, aircrew without physical limitations and considered of average or above average flight ability, and still the accidents happened. In the company's Madrid crash, the report went on, the co-pilot tried to warn the captain about how dangerous the situation was. The co-pilot was right, but they died because when the co-pilot asked questions, his implied suggestions were very weak. The captain's reply was to ignore him totally. Perhaps the co-pilot did not want to appear rebellious, questioning the judgment of the captain, or he did not want to play the fool because he knew the pilot had a great deal of experience flying in that area. The co-pilot should have advocated for his own opinions in a stronger way. Our ability to succeed at what we do is powerfully bound up in where we're from, and being a good pilot and coming from a high power distance culture is a difficult mix. Columbia, by no means, has the highest PDI of all, by the way. Helmreich and a colleague, Ashley Merritt, once measured the PDI of pilots from around the world. Number one was Brazil. Number two was South Korea. The National Transportation Safety Board, the U.S. agency responsible for investigating plane crashes, is headquartered in a squat 70-era office building on the banks of the Potomac River in Washington, D.C. Off the agency's long hallways are laboratories filled with airplane wreckage, a mangled piece of an engine turbine, a problematic piece of a helicopter rotor. On a shelf in one of the laboratories is the cockpit voice and data recorder, the so-called black box, from the devastating ValueJet crash in Florida in 1996, where 110 people were killed. The recorder is encased in a shoebox-sized housing made out of thick, hardened steel, and on one end of the box there is a jagged hole, as if someone, or rather something, had driven a stake into it with tremendous force. Some of the NTSB investigators are engineers who reconstruct crashes from the material evidence. Others are pilots. A surprising number of them, though, are psychologists, whose job it is to listen to the cockpit recorder and reconstruct what was said and done by the flight crew in the final minutes before a crash. One of the NTSB's leading black box specialists is a gangly 50-ish PhD psychologist named Malcolm Brenner, and Brenner was one of the investigators on the Korean Air crash in Guam. Normally, that approach into Guam is not difficult, Brenner began. Guam Airport had what is called a glide scope, which is like a giant beam of light stretching up into the sky from the airport, and the pilot simply follows the beam all the way down to the runway. But on this particular night, the glide scope was down. It was out of service, Brenner said. It had been sent to another island to be repaired. So there was a notice to airmen that the glide scope was not operating. In the grand scheme of things, this should not have been a big problem.